Okay, Dad. So let's talk just a little bit about building up a healthy soil this spring, because that's really kind of the foundation of organic gardening, isn't it?
Yeah.
We really want to build up a healthy soil. There's so much that comes as a result of a healthy soil. It will help your plants be healthier, and in turn, if you have healthier plants, you'll have a lot less bug disease pressure. It's pretty neat, actually. If you have a healthy plant, think of it kind of like your body. If our bodies are healthy, we are much more resistant to diseases that try and come and attack our bodies, and we have a healthier immune system, and we do better. Well, it's really neat because that same correlation goes over into the garden. It goes over into the plants that we're growing. If you have a healthy plant, it's actually resistant to bugs. The bugs will specifically pick out the weak plants in the garden and will attack them. Dad, tell them real quick that little example that we had with the spinach in the hoop house that we grew quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it was in the early days. But we had a hoop house that was we had leveled the pad in order to put the hoop house in, and topsoil had been moved from one end of the hoop house down to the other end. And so for a long time, even though we added compost and you know, everything, all the good things that we like to add to our soil, that was compost and peat moss and a lot of organic matter and then some soil amendments for fertility, no matter what we did, the end that had topsoil on it just had bigger and richer and more luscious-looking plants than the end where the topsoil had been scraped away. After a number of years, at this time, we don't really see a significant difference in there anymore. It's kind of but it took a few years to build the soil up on that one end. Anyways, we had two beds of spinach in there, and the spinach was looking really good, but like I said, the one end where we had the topsoil just had very large, dark green leaves. It was really beautiful. And the spinach up at the other end, you know, if you looked at it by itself, but they were smaller and they were lighter, they just weren't as dark a green. So, you know, it wasn't bad spinach, but it was not the same as the stuff down on the end with the topsoil. But a very interesting thing happened. A little bug got in there that was eating holes in the leaves. And the end that had the topsoil had maybe a hole here and there. The holes were just very occasional and rare, but up at the other end, where the leaves just weren't quite as big and dark and rich looking, those leaves were just getting riddled with holes. And you know, it was the same spinach in the same bed, so those bugs could eat of. You know, they had their pick where they wanted to be, and they wanted to be on the plants that were just a little bit weaker, perhaps a little more stressed, that weren't thriving like the other ones.
Yeah, the plants that just, they were compromised a little bit more the other ones. And that's just such a great example of, you know, one hoop house, one bed of spinach, and one end the plants were healthier, they had the better soil to grow in, and the bugs didn't bother them nearly as much. We've also seen out in the garden, we on the farm, we have seen, you know, a row of cabbage and just beautiful heads of cabbage with hardly a hole here or there at all. And in the middle of the row of cabbage, there'll be one cabbage that is just completely riddled with holes, with bugs. And it's like all the bugs went and attacked that one cabbage and just totally decimated it. Well, the cabbages sitting right next to it on either side are absolutely beautiful with hardly a hole in it at all. And so somehow, you know, that one cabbage got compromised somehow. Something happened that those bugs decided to come in and hone in on that one. So all of that was just a little example to bring in the importance of how important building up a healthy soil can be from the start. And so that's one focus that I would really encourage you all to have this year as you're going into a new gardening season, new gardening summer season. We like to say that gardening can be a lifestyle where you do it all year long. And so if you do that, then your gardening season is all year. But we are going into a new summer season, and this is a great time to really focus on building up a healthy soil. So let's talk about a few ways that you can, some ideas that you can use to help build up the soil. First of all, many of you will have heard or thought about before taking a soil test. You know, people suggest taking soil tests. And actually in the course, I have a whole module on soil testing, and I do a walk through. I have a place, Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. It's online. It's called Grow Organic. They do a great soil test that we suggest that you take, get a soil test done there if you're interested in getting a soil test, and I do take you through a walkthrough of that. And the thing with soil testing is that it's not as accurate as some people may think or make it out to be. It's really, there's a lot of variables that go into it. For instance, they've tested soil that was dry, and then they've tested the same soil when it was wet and come out with totally different, you know, results off of it. The only difference being that the soil was dry versus being wet. And so even though it may come back looking really precise, it's got all these little numbers, there can be a lot of variances. And other variances are there's a lot of life in the soil, microbiological life, and the life itself can be holding nutrients inside it, which when the bacteria die, they release those nutrients. And those nutrients can then be taken up in available forms by the plant. All of that to say that I would suggest, if you have the time and the investment, to go ahead and invest in a soil test. I do think that it can give you a general ballpark of where your soil is at, and that can be nice. And then you can bring in, like, if your soil is really low in certain nutrients, you can come in and add those in.
Just for example, our soils are, we happen to have soil that's very high in phosphorus. Monsanto was actually mining phosphorus just across the valley from us. It's, you know, less than, well, probably about half a mile from us. But we are low in potassium. So we're very high in phosphorus. We don't want to add any phosphorus. You know, we have more than enough phosphorus, but we do need potassium. And so we just, you know, we don't feel like we necessarily have to, you know, we're growing on a number of plots, and we don't test every plot every year. We have a pretty good idea of what we need now, and we know potassium is one thing that we need, and so we're pretty regularly adding potassium to our soil.
So yeah, if you're interested in getting into the soil testing, I would really encourage you to go check out those modules. Otherwise, I'm not going to real dive much deeper down into it than that. Otherwise, if that's just all really complicated and you're not quite ready to go there, maybe your garden is really small, there is something that you can do right from the start, and that is that you can incorporate organic matter or compost into your soil. This is the best thing. This is the number one best thing that you can do to start building up a healthy soil. It can not necessarily fix every problem, but it's like a buffer. In other words, there's all kinds of things when you're looking at your soil. There's your soil pH. That's how acidic your soil is or how basic your soil is. Think of, you know, lemons being acidic. It's that kind of idea. And your plants like an acidity and a basic that's actually around 6 to 6.5, so it's pretty neutral. Most of your vegetable plants are going to like that. And compost acts as a buffer. It can actually bring, if your soil is naturally acidic, it can bring that up. Or if it's basic, it can bring that your pH down. It also really helps with building up your soil structure, and it adds a lot of nutrients to your soil that your plants are going to love. So as a number one, overall,
I would just, you know, Paul mentioned how the compost tends to buffer the pH, but it also has that, tends to have that same effect with other nutrients. So if you're low or high in certain nutrients, if you have a lot of a good amount of organic matter in your soil, it tends to buffer those things as well, making more nutrients available or tying up excess nutrients.
And it also really encourages microbiological life in your soil. It's going to encourage earthworms and bacteria and fungi and a whole host of little microbiological life that is really important for the garden. And you can learn more about that also in the module. I have a whole lesson on talking about the life in the soil and some really amazing things that happen in the soil with this little microbiological life.
But I'd like to just add that microbiological life, the bacteria and the fungi particularly, are really essential for your garden. That's what you want, because they are what make nutrients available to your plants. They are what transfer nutrients from the soil into the roots of your plants. And you just want a lot of those. You want to foster them as much as you can.
And believe it or not, they actually protect your plants against diseases as well. So it's something to think about. That's also, you know, thinking about the soil, that's one of the things you want to think about, is building up a soil that has an environment that's conducive for life in the soil, all that microbiological life, the bacteria, the fungi.
Some organic farmers like to say that they're raising bacteria and fungi. That's, you know, I'm growing bacteria and fungi in my soil, and then those bacteria and fungi are what are helping to grow my plants.
Yeah, I think they call themselves microbe farmers or something like that. So compost is the number one thing that I would suggest that you start looking into. Even if you haven't done a soil test now, you know, maybe you want to do that. That's great. But especially if you don't have the interest in doing that, if you're really small, look for a good source of compost in your area, a source where you want compost that has been aged. 2 years old is really good. If you can get compost that is 2 years old, you know, you can go down to, like, the Lawn and Garden Center, and you can probably find a bag of compost, and that will be better than nothing. And if you do that, I would look for organic compost. That would be the best. Otherwise, if you're living in an area that has other farmers around, you might want to just go and stop by at their farms and just kind of ask them some questions. You know, do you have any compost? Do you know a good place, a good source to get compost? You could get, in some farms around, you might find a farm that has horse manure that they're taking out and composting. And if you could get that as long as it's aged as well, that would be a good source. Otherwise, you could also look around for worm castings or earthworm castings. Those are also very beneficial, and they're kind of like a compost, but it's what the earthworms have actually processed themselves, and it's a great source of organic matter to add to your garden. So those are just some thoughts of where you can start with building up your soil this season. Really practically, find a good compost source and start incorporating it into your garden. And you can usually put a lot of compost onto your soil. You're pretty much not going to overdo it with adding compost or organic matter into your garden. You don't want to be growing your plants in compost alone. You definitely want to be mixing it into your garden soil, but you're going to be hard-pressed to overdo it when it comes to adding that organic matter into your soil. Did you have any other ideas, Dad, when it came to adding organic matter or compost?
Well, I'll just say another thing that we do when we're starting a new garden bed, in soil that we have not been growing in previously, we'll add a lot of peat moss as well. We'll add, trying to remember, I think we were adding one. You know, if you go to your lawn and garden center, they'll usually have peat moss in bales. And we were adding, I think it was one bale per 50 feet of a 30-inch wide bed. And then we added roughly that amount of, close to an equivalent amount worm castings, but if worm castings or compost, either one, so it would be a lot, quite a bit of organic matter into your bed to start with as an initial amount to put in.
Yeah, great note there. So look for the peat moss, look for the compost, or look for earthworm castings. Now, you're not going to get necessarily the same amount of nutrients from the peat moss as you would.
No, you're not getting nutrients from the peat moss, but it's organic matter, and it helps. Having the organic matter in your soil helps the microbes to thrive, and they source nutrients from your soil.
And it also will help you with the structure of your soil. You know, all of us, most everyone probably has in their mind an idea of a healthy soil. You know, it's rich, it's dark, it's crumbly. You know, it crumbles kind of like a chocolate cake. It has little crumbles. They call them soil aggregates, where it's a bunch of little tiny soil particles all kind of glued together, and they make these little crumbles. We probably, most all of us, have that idea in our mind, and adding that organic matter is going to be in getting your soil to that stage. You know, if your soil is really clayey, then it's going to be really compact, and it's going to stick together, and it's going to clump. It's not going to have that crumbly texture, and adding that organic matter is going to help you towards having that crumbly texture, which actually is really important for allowing air down into the garden and holding water and all of that. There's more on that in the course when you go into the soil formation and structure.
Yeah, I'll just say that the beds that we have been working for a number of years have a very different soil structure than the surrounding soil. We do grow in permanent beds. We don't grow in raised beds with wooden sides. We just keep our beds in the ground. We sometimes raise them, just raising the earth in the bed higher than the earth in the path. But we don't use any wood on the sides, that it gets in the way of our working on the beds. But we do have permanent beds that we keep using year after year. And we keep adding organic. We make that initial investment in organic matter, and then we keep adding it every time we take a crop off, every time we harvest a crop, and then we're ready to put another one in. We add some more compost, just as a routine. And the soil in those beds after a few years becomes very, very nice. It's soft. It's very loamy and very, very easy to work with. Our soil outside the beds has quite a heavy clay content, and so it can be quite hard and heavy. But the soil in the beds is very different.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a little rundown of how to start working on building up your healthy soil this spring. And I'd really encourage you, if you haven't had time yet, think about scheduling into your day, jumping into those modules, going through those lessons. I put soil right up near the top, you know, this planting preparation, and then it goes straight into the soil, because building up your healthy soil is so important. And I'd encourage you to go and listen to those lessons and learn more about it. Otherwise, let's transition over into some talk time together. So just a little reminder, if you have a question, if you have something to say, just press the number 5 and then the star on your keypad, and we'll jump in with you and grab your question. I really want these calls to be interactive with you, especially in the sense that, you know, if you don't want to talk, that's fine too. There's no push to talk together. But I want them to be a blessing to you, where we can touch on your questions if anyone has questions that they might have. Otherwise, hey, it doesn't look like anyone has any questions here this evening. Dad, we might get the evening off here. Yeah, just a reminder. Yeah, just press the number 5 and then star if you have a question. Otherwise, what we'll do real quick before we sign off, there isn't too many of you on, and so what we'll do real quick is we'll go through each one of you and just let you introduce yourself, tell us your name, and tell us where you're from, and that way we'll just get a little interaction together. All right, and we'll start here. Actually, someone just jumped in with a little raise their hands. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute your phone, and you'll hear this little message, I think, that says phone unmuted. And then just introduce yourself, tell us your name, and tell us where you're from. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Jody Schaffner, and I'm from Morris, Oklahoma. And my question is, what do you think about straw? I haven't been able to go through the lessons too much yet. Excited about them, but I had a compost pile, and I had it for about a week, I mean, from last year, so it's just 1 year old. Will that be all right? Or should I try putting it into the garden, even though it's just 1 year old?
It should be okay if it's 1 year old. Did you turn it at all?
A little bit.
Okay. As long as it has the look and feel and smell of soil, you know, you might have a few large pieces of stuff that haven't decayed all the way, but as long as it's generally has the look of good dark soil, you can use it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great, Jody. You already got your own compost there.
Yep.
That's really great. And for everyone else, when you're doing compost, it's really, really good to have that straw mixed in there with it. Just real quick, this is covered in the compost session in the lessons, but you want a good mix of straw with what are called greens, your fresh you know, your fresh kitchen scraps and stuff. If you just have all of that fresh stuff, then it gets really stinky. So you want to have that straw. So that's really, that's great, Jody. Thanks for jumping in there with that question. All right. It looks like Kim has a question here for us. Hey, Kim, did you have a comment or a question?
Hi, Paul. Yeah.
Kim was one of our in the special enrollment that signed up the very night of the webinar itself, and so we just had a special conference call for them the other night, and so that's why I saw that she was on here again. And if I remember right, Kim, you're up in Oregon, right?
Yes, we're in Colton, Oregon, up about 2,000 feet. We've been organic gardening for several years now, but we figure we can always stand to learn more. So we jumped onto the chance to do the webinar, and we have a 20 by 30 garden up here on 9 acres. We live right next to National Forest, where we have lots of wild animals, beasties that will come and eat anything that you give them. And we also have a 20 by 30 start of a greenhouse. We had a greenhouse that several years ago the snow and ice took down, and we have the framework up right now too. But I did enjoy the call last night, Paul, and I was wondering, I was at my chiropractor's the other, about a week or so ago, and he told us about what's called white lightning soil amendment. Are you familiar with that? Apparently we can get it here, and we did go and a couple of yards of it. It's made with organic vegetable matter, which we really like the idea of.
Yeah, well, yeah, that organic vegetable matter, that sounds really good. I can't say that – I don't think either of us have heard of white lightning. So I don't have much that I could say about it. But if it's organic vegetable matter that's, you know, the main component, that's the main thing, is just to figure out what it's being made out of.
It has in it a little bit of steer manure, a whole lot of the organic vegetable matter, vegetables and fruits from the Portland area, and then it also has earthworm castings. I think it has a little bit of pumice in it, too. But we're anxious to try that and see how well our garden do with that. And
that sounds really good.
Where else can we get free compost? We don't have a truck to haul anything in. So where else can we find free compost?
Free compost, that's a tough one. The best free compost is the one that you make yourself pretty much, and still then you're it comes out of your kitchen scraps and stuff. Otherwise,
some places you might look are, if you know people who have horses or animals, you know, who aren't using the manure themselves, they might be happy to have somebody clean out their stalls for them, and you can take that.
And this might have been what you were thinking about. I guess basically what I'm saying is that if the free compost that you'll get, if you do get it free, it's going to take some time and work on your part to get it and then to let it decompose at your place.
Right.
Otherwise, there's not much of a chance of actually just going out to the farmer and saying, you know, and you might have already understood that, but the most farmers hold their compost as pretty precious, and so they would probably want to sell it to you if it was already decomposed. But another thing that you can look at is if you have neighbors that mow their fields, and the grass clippings, or you know, if they let the grass grow up really tall and they bush hog their fields or something, all of that grass clippings and stuff, if you have a way that you can go in and collect those, you know, you could be doing your neighbor a service at the same time. They probably don't really care much about them. That's a thought.
Another thing that you can sometimes get free or for very cheap are old hay bales. You know, sometimes farmers have, I know it happens around here quite a bit, they have old hay bales that are starting to rot and they're not...
Push up.
Sure,
they're not good for
here,
for animal feed, and they're happy to get rid of them for a cheap price or maybe even just give them to you.
Right, and here in Western Oregon, it rains a lot, and so I do notice that sometimes the farmers haven't covered up their hay or their straw, and they have a tendency to mold. So I could ask at the feed stores or something like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. All that molding or rotting hay or straw, it's sad for the farmer that lost it, but it's bonanza for you.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, absolutely, Kim. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
All right, we've got a couple... others of you on here, and just real quick before we call, cancel out the call tonight, let's just introduce ourselves. So what I'll do is I'll unmute your phone like I was saying earlier. You'll hear the little message, and then just tell us your name real quick and where you're gardening. Welcome to the call.
This is Debbie. I live in Drumheller, Alberta, Canada.
All right. Wow. Hey, Debbie, thanks so much for joining us today. That's really great.
Nice to be here.
So has spring reached you?
Well, it's trying. Our snow is finally all gone.
Okay.
We have had rain for the last few days. So garden is too wet to do anything with yet. We did, we have put up the ribs and the poles in the ground for a caterpillar tunnel.
We don't
have the plastic on it yet, but that's the next step. We have to go purchase the plastic, so we're working on it. I have tomatoes and some other greens and stuff started in the house.
Great.
So we're getting there.
Well, it sounds like you're off to a good start. Have you been doing this in the past?
The starting in the house?
No. Have you been growing gardens in the past?
Oh yes, I've been gardening for many years now.
Okay.
But the problem has been that I didn't know how to properly put nutrients back into the soil, so our garden has gotten very depleted.
Okay.
And that's what we're working on, is to try and build up the soil.
Yeah, good.
That's great. Yeah, well, keep us posted. So keep us posted on how things come. We would love to hear. And thanks again for joining the call this evening.
Oh, I'm glad I could be here.
All right, we've got one more guest here. I'll go ahead and unmute your phone, and just again, tell us your name and tell us where you're from.
Hi, I'm Dana. I'm in Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Dana.
I don't really have any questions at this point, but I've been kind of going through the modules and kind of filling in, and I was able to go out and add a little bit of compost to the soil last weekend, but most of this week's been kind of rainy, so most of the indoor stuff.
Yeah, it can be rainy out there. We lived in Oregon for quite a while. We probably get even more rain where we lived in Oregon than you do over in Spokane.
Yeah, we don't get quite as much, being that we're more inland.
That's great. Have you been gardening for a while?
Well, I've been trying. Pretty much the last probably 3 or 4 years, I started getting semi-serious about kind of trying to learn what to do, how to do it. Last year I did really good on tomatoes, but not so good on, like, a lot of root vegetables, and I don't know what I did wrong there, but.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. That's a great start, and keep plugging away at it. This is great.
Yeah, it's a good learning experience.
To me, one of the fun things about gardening is that every season, you know, I'm looking back and evaluating, and there's always things that I'm going to do different next year. And, you know, every year it's a learning process, and we just hopefully get a little bit better. But, you know, every year is different, and there are just new challenges that keep coming up. And to me, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dana. Thanks for joining us for the call this evening. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, everyone. I'm going to start closing out here. If you do have something you want to pipe in real quick, again, just press 5 and then star, and I'll get you. Otherwise, really appreciate each of you joining the call, Debbie, Kim, Jody, and Dana. It's been a pleasure having you on the call here this evening, and just want to let you know that we're here for you. You know, I'm here for you. If you ever have a question, definitely don't hesitate to shoot me an email. Send me an email over and tell me your question, and I'll try and get an answer to you as quick as I can most of the time. So otherwise, we hope that we give you our best wishes for this summer season. Hope that everything goes really well in your garden, that you can start really investing in building up your healthier soil for your garden this season, and let us know how it comes. We'd love to hear from you as we get to the end of the season. Shoot us a note. Let us know how your garden has come. Otherwise, thanks again for joining us this evening, and we hope that you all have a wonderful night.
Yeah, have a good evening.
So we'll be in touch. Look out for some more emails from me over the next few weeks and months ahead. All right, have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.